We're joined on the line by Dr. Shireen Razak, who's at the Department of Sociology and Equity Studies at the University of Toronto. Good afternoon, Professor Shireen Razak.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for joining us. Our program today is being broadcast in light of the return to Canada of Abu Sufyan Abdulrazak and the grassroots campaign across the country for Abdulrazak's return to Canada. We just heard about the reality of torture of Canadian citizens, and also, of course, today is the United Nations International Day in support of victims of torture. I was wondering, Dr. Shireen Razak, if you could offer your thoughts on the ways in which torture after 9/11 has entered the political discussion in this country. We're seeing a lot more discussion of torture, a lot more reality of Canadian citizens being tortured, those citizens coming from Arab and Muslim backgrounds. What is your commentary on what many have called an increasing normalization of torture?
Well, I guess the first thing to note is that what is circulating about torture is a very specific narrative, and that's the narrative that torture works and that it is necessary. So those are the two things that circulate throughout popular discourse, throughout legal discourses, and so on. And those ideas are virtually unchallenged in the popular media, which is really quite dangerous because in the scholarly literature, they're quite disputed. So you see the circulation of those two ideas, torture is necessary and that it produces results, circulating more than it ever has before. And it joins a second idea, which is that some people, in this case Muslims, are so, by nature, so violent and so dangerous that only torture will assist us to protect ourselves from them. So that's the second idea that is circulating around torture, and it is a very old-fashioned racist idea that is circulating.
Can you expand on that? I think a lot of people would believe that we're living in a society that has overcome racism.
Well, confronted with the threat of terrorism, which is an undeniable threat, what we have done as a society is harnessed our fears to some long-standing racist ideas. The notion, for example, that people of color or people of Muslim origin or Arab origin are somehow inherently violent, inherently primitive. They don't treat their women right. They're not committed to democracy. These are old ideas about the nature of a people. So it's not really the nature of a terrorist. It's the nature of all of those societies. And if anyone is a part of those societies, even remotely, then you're sort of tarred with the same brush. You're sort of made into someone who is of a culture and who has a secret nature of violence. And that really is a racist construct when people are judged as inferior or as dangerous based on where they come from and what their racial makeup is.
What responsibility do you feel that people in Canada have to address this narrative that you've talked about, which, in very literal terms, if we want to understand what torture is extremely disturbing?
Well, the basic responsibility is to insist on something very simple, which is the rule of law. That sums up our responsibility as citizens, that we should insist that no group is evicted from the law, no group is denied their fundamental rights, which is to say that if you are suspected of involvement with terrorism, there has to be a charge, there has to be evidence, you cannot be detained indefinitely, and, of course, you cannot be tortured. This is actually what we need to do to be safe, because the circulation of racist narratives and practices of torture do not keep us safe.
Professor Shireen, I'm Sama Elibiari. I want to share with you those remarks here. Earlier on the program, we read a commentary that was sent to the Globe and Mail by Meher Arar, and it was published today in the Globe and Mail. And under comments, I read here the editor note. Comments have been closed on this story because an overwhelming number of readers were making offensive statements about other commenters and or the individual or individuals mentioned in the story. Now, those mentioned in the story are men who have suffered torture, and yet the comments received by the Globe and Mail were so offensive that the editor found that he had to turn off this feature. This was most troubling to me. Would you like to comment, please?
Well, it is, you know, downright frightening. And I guess the first comment that I would make is that torture itself, as well as the stories about torture, are actually meant to teach us something. They're meant to teach us who belongs to the national community and who doesn't. And that is what they accomplish. So you get massive numbers of people who think, in fact, that Muslims do not belong to the national community and are not deserving of their fundamental rights. And that really is the damage of torture. So while it doesn't surprise me that so many Canadians can be so, not simply racist, but so willing to deny these absolutely fundamental rights, it disheartens me and it pains me. And of course, what it really does is that it frightens me, and that's what it's meant to do. It works in that sense. I, like so many other Canadians who have names that are not Anglo-Saxon, are, you know, properly worried that we will not be protected by this nation, that we do not belong to this nation. And I think that's the lesson from this.
Right. Do you think that because Canada has always been a peaceful country, people here have not seen any close relatives of them tortured? This is not a reality. And also, when we see violence on TV, it seems to be acceptable. So those two, I would say, excuses, I'm not trying to excuse anyone, but can this explain why people feel insensitive to torture?
Well, they feel insensitive to torture because they've had a relentless number of stories for a very long time that make the case that torture is not only permissible but necessary. So they are desensitized to it. Some Canadians know very well about torture. I think we should recall here Canadians of color, and in particular Aboriginal Canadians and Black Canadians, who understand how they're treated by the police. So it's not all Canadians who are desensitized, but all of us have been given such a story about torture in the past few years in particular that it is very hard to cut through. It's a bit like, you know, when someone is accused of a crime, even when they're proven innocent later on, the sort of smell of the accusation lingers, and people think always to themselves, well, I wonder, he must have done something wrong if they had arrested him. There must be something there. And I think there's a little bit of that going on, in addition to the story that somehow or the other, if your name is this particular kind of name, or you look like this particular kind of person, or you come from a certain region, there really is no hope for you.
Dr. Shireen Ruzic, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
You're welcome.
Dr. Shireen Ruzic is an author of multiple books and teaches at the University of Toronto, and she joined us on the program today, which is focused on the case of Abu Sufyan Abdul Razak on this International Day to Remember Victims of Torture. Abu Sufyan Abdul Razak is, of course, a Montrealer who was tortured in Sudan, and after a long grassroots campaign, will be returning to Montreal. This is CKUT 90.3 FM, People Powered Radio. You can find us online at www.ckut.ca.